Okay, we are on the air. All right. So a few different shaylas that sent in. Besides what Josh discussed, a lot of good shechidam shaylas. I'll discuss something else that someone sent in. He's not here yet, so I'll discuss it. I already told him the answer. That someone wanted to donate money to writing a Sefer Torah and writing Nevi'im. And then after he gave the money, they told him that you can donate, or I should say donate, you could do a Le'ilah Nishmas somebody. So the question is, should he do a Le'ilah Nishmas somebody? Because on the one hand, yeah, you want the neshama to have an aliyah. On the other hand, he gave the money, nothing to do with that neshama. He gave the money even before he even thought about that neshama. So does it really mean anything by writing on the covering, this is done Le'ilah Nishmas, this person? So this is spooky stuff. I don't know. We don't know what goes on in Shemayim. My hunch is that if you're doing something because of that person, or specifically in honor of that person, then it's going to do something for that person. But here, where this is like an afterthought, it doesn't make sense to me that the neshama is going to get an aliyah because you decide to write their name on something when you weren't even doing it for them. And therefore, what I advised him was to do it to cover the wrath, because that is a mitzvah de deraisa every day to do cover to Tamei Chachamim. And here you're doing it right now, and everyone will see you're doing the cover to Tamei Chachamim, and that perhaps will enhance other people to do things for the Tamei Chachamim, and that would be a mitzvah of Kibud Tamei Chachamim. A second shayla that sent in was someone left a wallet in his friend's car and called him up and said, I left my wallet in your car. I said, okay, whenever you want to come and get it. The guy left the doors unlocked, and the wallet was stolen. So who is responsible? I mean, is the owner of the car responsible or not? So a shomer chinam is responsible for negligence, not for theft. Leaving car doors unlocked with a wallet in them is in the level of negligence. So if he were to be a shomer chinam, he would be chayav to pay for the wallet. However, the guy never said, be my shomer, and the guy never accepted, I am going to be your shomer. And therefore, in this case, very likely, and most possibly, he's not a shomer at all. In which case, he's not going to be responsible. So all he said was, yeah, you can keep it in my car. I'm not going to charge you rent. I'm not going to throw in the garbage. I'll make sure it's, I'll make sure I don't take it. But he never accepted responsibility from someone else. And therefore, he would not be responsible. Okay.
Didn't it say in the parsha the other week or something that you have to guard other people's items just as you would your own?
Sam, you're right that you definitely should treat your other people's property as your own. When you find it on the street, you definitely should pick it up. But it doesn't hold you responsible.
Isn't it a mitzvah to pick it up, like a chiyuv commandment?
It's a mitzvah to pick it up. It's an aveira if you don't pick it up. And absolutely.
Right.
But
an aveira if you don't pick it up.
Absolutely. But this was not an aveira on the street. This is left in his car, and he's keeping it for him. But the level of responsibility, he didn't accept responsibility. The Torah doesn't say you have to accept responsibility. If you see someone on the street, pick it up, return it to him. And if you do, you'll have a certain level of responsibility.
And you're supposed to keep it in your house. It's like an Aveda.
And you're right.
You're supposed to keep it in your house, and you'd be a shomer chinov at that point.
When you keep it by an Aveda, when you pick it up, you are taking on responsibility as a shomer. You're right. In this case, it was never lost. He never picked it up. He never had to pick it up. The owner knows exactly where it is. Therefore, I, as the owner of the car, I'm not responsible to do anything. I don't have to pick it up, and I don't have to accept shmira by myself. Different than a lost object in the street. All right, next. So I asked, what about in his former life, he had done some, he had mistreated some people, and he now is cutting close to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, he feels bad, and he wants to ask Mechila, but he doesn't talk to those types of people anymore. Let's just say, for example, a boy and a girl. So he was a yeshiva bacher, and now he became a yeshiva bacher, and he no longer talks to girls, but he knows that he offended plus other girls. What should he do as far as asking mechila? No. On the one hand, he's from, he wants a mechila. On the other hand, he's from, he doesn't talk to girls anymore. So the question is, what should he do to get mechila from his former friends? So just because you're from doesn't mean you don't get mechila, and he absolutely needs to get mechila. But we have to respect the fact that he doesn't want to talk to them again because he may get sucked back into that life. So what the ideal is to appoint a shliach, whether it's a Rebbe, it's a friend, it's a sister, it's a mother, it's a brother, appoint a shliach who will talk on his behalf and say, listen, this person knows what he did. He feels very bad for what he did. For those who just joined us in, it's a very crucial shaila that someone who wants to ask mechila from a party that he doesn't want to talk to anymore, he should at least appoint a shliach and have the shliach go and ask mechila on his behalf. And hopefully the person will show it's sincere, because this is sincere, and that way he will not have to talk to that person again. Another shaila is as far as using a kohen. Are you allowed to have a kohen do a favor for you? Go to the store, pick something up for you, bring your gemara to the base medrash, bring something home for you. Can a kohen do things for you? Right? The halacha is a kohen is holy, and you're not allowed to use him. The same way you can't use karbanos for your benefit, you can't use a kohen for your benefit. And therefore, there is, even today we have no base amigdash. Even today, we don't know who all the kohenim are, but they still have kedusha, which is why we still give them the first aliyah. And therefore, you're not allowed to use them for your benefit. However, if it's very convenient for you, whatever you need it, you have to ask them to be meichel. So you can say, please, I know you're kain, but please be meichel me, and can you please do this? And only if he's meichel can he do it. If he's not meichel, he can't do it for you. Okay, and the last shy I'll discuss right now is if you spoke Lashon Hara against someone, you spoke Lashon Hara against Reuven, and Reuven does not know. And now, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur time, you want to ask mechila. Again, by the way, you don't have to wait till Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur to ask mechila. It just happens to be that's what most people do. But whatever it is, you want to ask mechila. Now, if you tell him you spoke Lashon Hara about him, you're going to get embarrassed and he's going to get embarrassed. So do you have to tell him? So the Chafetz Chaim and Rishon Salanter have a machlokas about this. And it comes down to this. If there was monetary damage to him, you absolutely have to. No matter what, you have to tell him, listen, I caused you this damage. I'll make up for it. I'm sorry. Please meichel me. But if there's no monetary damage, just you gave him a bad name, you spoke Lashon Hara against him, and he doesn't know, and he'll be embarrassed if you tell him, so then you do not need to tell him. What you could do is ask for a generic mechila, which is, I've done some things wrong against you in the past. Please be meichel me. But you don't need to tell him what it is. All right. That is a wrap on some random shilas. Now let's move on to Hilchas Sukkah. We're going to divide this into two parts, this week and next week. This week we'll do the Sukkah part. Next week we'll do the Dalin Minim part. And it's a shem. All right, now Sukkah, we're going to divide into the building of the Sukkah in general, the walls, the Sach, and sitting in the Sukkah. Okay, so it'll be around four parts over here. So first let's start with the building of the Sukkah. So first of all, when you build the Sukkah, you must make sure that you put up the walls before the schach, not vice versa. You may not be Yosef if you put the schach up first. First the walls and then the schach. If you put
How is it possible to put up the schach before the walls?
So, Sam, you may not have gone to construction school, but you could theoretically have a frame sukkah that has no walls up, just the frame. And at that point, it is possible to put the schach up. And I've seen it done in many places. All restaurants have framed sukkahs, right? They all have framed sukkahs. If you could theoretically put the schach up first and then the walls. And if they do that, it's possible. So therefore, what you want to do is make sure walls first, then schach. Now, if you put it up correctly and then the walls fall down and all that's left is a schach, then it's okay to put the walls up because it's really tough. Fine. Next halacha is you want to make sure when you build your sukkah that there are no trees above. If there are trees above, they're major shilas. So definitely check before. If there are trees that you can't cut down, let's discuss it. But it's definitely not push it. When you build the sukkah, you must put the schach on l'shem sale. You don't have to do it l'shem yantit, but you have to do it l'shem sale. Sale means shade. Have to be put up there for shade purposes. Women, ketanim, or goyim are allowed to build a sukkah. However, it's best if someone who's chayv in the mitzvah builds it. Therefore, that would be a male over the age of 13. However, anyone who builds a sukkah is fine as long as they put it up for shade purposes. You do not make a bracha when you build the sukkah. The bracha shachianu on Kiddush goes on the sukkah as well. If you want to have a rain covering, you can have a rain covering, which you can't sit. I mean, you can't make a bracha while it's covered, but you can cover it and uncover it as you like if you want to keep everything inside dry. You are allowed to build a sukkah on Chol HaMoed, even though you're not allowed to build on Chol HaMoed in general, but this is considered Tzarech HaMoed, needed for Chol HaMoed, so you are allowed to build. You are not allowed to take down. So if you are traveling and you want to take your sukkah down and you're afraid it's going to rain, you're not allowed to, because that is destruction on Chol HaMoed, and that's not needed for Chol HaMoed purposes. So yes, building, no destroying. The size of your sukkah must be at least 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. A tefach is about 8 centimeters or 9 centimeters. So we're talking around 50, 60 centimeters, pretty small. That's the minimum. But when you're in your sukkah, the table has to be in there when you're eating. If your sukkah is too small, now while you're eating, the table's outside, you're not yotze. Because we're afraid you're going to eat outside. What?
When you say you can't destruct, so like the people that they like open their sunroof and throw a piece of zakach on it over it.
That's a great question. Can't take it. It's a great question.
Sorry?
It's a great question. Right, let's say you're
making... part where Lubavitch might go and put the sucker up, Chol HaMoed.
Right, so it's a great question. Are you allowed, let's say using a car, let's just say it's going to be a kosher sukkah. It's in your car or it's on a car. So then you build it, and now you're moving. You want to take it down. So that would be okay because you're taking it down. Why? Because you want to drive your car and go somewhere else, which is considered Tzarech HaMoed. I mean, you can't just take it down for taking down purposes. If the reason why you're taking it down is for the need of Chol HaMoed, you have some other need, so then you can take it down. But not just to take it down. All right, now, so that's the minimum size of sukkah. You must have the table in there while you're eating. Next. If you want to put your sukkah in public property, so the sukkah is still kosher. It's not recommended because it's a form of thievery, but since we hold land isn't stolen, therefore it's not considered a stolen sukkah, and you are yotze even. And therefore, when you see sukkahs on public sidewalks, even though it may not be so nice, but the people that are sitting in them are still yotze, and you should not knock it down. Now, everything that's put in the sukkah is what's called huktza l'mitzvah, designated for the mitzvah, and therefore, you cannot take it down. You cannot use it for other purposes. Not like you would want to, but if for whatever reason you have the itch, the nerve, the urge to take some schach and hit your friend with it, you can't do it. It's designated for the mitzvah. As far as the decorations, they're also, whatever's in the sukkah is designated for the sukkah, and therefore, if there are things that you would want to bring in and out of your house, you should say before you put them in that you are not designating them for the sukkah, and you are reserving the right to use them as you wish. That's something which you can say before sukkah starts. Once sukkah starts, it's too late. Whatever's in the sukkah stays designated for the sukkah. If it rains, you're allowed to bring stuff in to protect it, but you're not allowed to use it for any other purposes. Okay, that's a general look at building a sukkah. As far as the actual walls, everything is kosher for walls. They have to be 10 tefachim high, 10 tefachim around 80 centimeters. They do not need to reach the schach. So once you have a 10 tefach high, even the schach is a lot higher, we have a principle of go to asik. We view the wall if it goes all the way up, and that's fine. It does not have to touch the ground. It can be, but it has to be within 3 tefachim of the ground. So less than 3 times 8. Less than 24 centimeters off the ground. It has to be lower than that. Okay, then you do not want them shaky in the wind. You want the walls sturdy. If they blow too much in the wind, like a lot of these canvas or like, you know, made out of sheets and they flap in the wind, that could be a problem if it flaps too much. So you want to make sure that you're tightening it. What you can do, you put these lovely straps, they're called, all around, which is good. Don't rely just on the straps, but between the straps and the sheet, you should be in good shape. You need to have ideally 4 walls. 3 walls is also good. Now, letter of the law allows you to have 2 walls and a little bit, but it's very tricky to make sure you're doing it the right way. So if you have to do such a sukkah, let's talk about it. Ideally, you want to have 3 full walls for sure. Even 4, great, is even better. If there's a door in the middle of your wall, that's fine. A doorway is fine, and you can open and close the door. If you need that wall for your sukkah, as long as you have the majority of it closed, so even if the door is open, it's fine. Otherwise, the door has to be closed for you to be able to eat in that sukkah, if you need that wall for your sukkah. Okay, that's a loose, those are some loose halachas on walls. As far as the schach goes, schach has to be made from, some is screwed from the ground and is not makabel tumah. Mats that are made to sleep on are considered kelim and they are makabel tumah. Mats that are made for schach are fine. So therefore, most mats that you'll buy out there are made for schach, which is fine. But if you go to Walmart and buy a mat and put it on your schach, it's puzzle because that mat was not made for schach. That was made to sleep on, and therefore it will be a problem. You want your schach lower than 20 amos and higher than 10 tefachim. You do not want your schach to smell because it will make you not want to sit in your sukkah, and therefore make sure it doesn't smell or just get corona like I have and lose your sense of smell. And then
but you got it?
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that later. Anyway, so then you can use whatever. If you don't smell anyway, then you can use stuff that doesn't smell so good. Now, anything. Now, decorations. This is very tricky. People like making decorations for the sukkah, and that's great. But if you're going to have a decoration for your sukkah, you do not want it to passel your sukkah. And therefore, what you want to make sure is that all decorations are within 4 tefachim of the roof of the schach. If decorations hang below 4 tefachim, below 32 centimeters, you're running the risk of it invalidating your sukkah. I'll explain a little bit more soon. But you want all decorations to be within the top, within 32 centimeters of the schach. And here's what happens. A sukkah, if you use schach puzzle, like all decorations are, anything which is schach puzzle, up to 4 tefachim of schach puzzle is kosher. And you're allowed to sit under it. But if it's larger than 4 tefachim, then you're not allowed to sit under it. And therefore, if you have any patch in your sukkah, 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim is schach puzzle, that will invalidate that area and very well may invalidate the whole sukkah. And therefore, you want to make sure you don't have schach puzzle more than 4 tefachim. Decorations are considered schach puzzle. And therefore, if they're within the 4 tefachim of the schach, they're bottled to the schach, it's no problem. But once they hang down lower than that, then they become not batel to the schach, and they are something which could invalidate your sukkah. And therefore, try to have all your decorations within 4 tefachim of the roof. Air spaces in your sukkah. You are allowed to have some air space. You want your combined schach to provide more shade than sun, sail more than cham. You want to have as a combine the whole area to have more shade. If you have some pockets of space of air, that's fine. If a pocket is more than 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim, 24 centimeters by 24 centimeters, that may invalidate your whole sukkah, definitely that area. If you have, let's say, small little pockets of tiny airspace, it's no problem. But let's say you have a 2 tefach. The sukkah is kosher, but don't sit under it. So here's a big difference. If it's schach puzzle under 4 tefachim, you could sit under it. If it's airspace under 3 tefachim, you can't sit under it. If it's minimal, like a tefach or less, then you could sit under it. So in that area of 1 tefach to 3, it doesn't invalidate your sukkah, but don't sit under it. Okay, now there are other details, but these are the main things. One other thing is, you want to make sure your schach doesn't fly away on sukkahs, and therefore you want to tie it down. There's a machlokas, what you have to tie it down with. Some people are machmir, you can only tie it down with something which it itself is kosher to be schach. It's a chumra called maimid. We do not need to be machmir like that. And therefore, you are allowed to tie down your schach with whatever you want to tie down your schach with. Okay, now, as far as the actual sitting in the sukkah. Men, women, children, they should all sit in the sukkah. However, women and children are pater. But if they want to sit in the sukkah, they can make brachas, as long as they are Ashkenazi. But they're not chayiv to eat in the sukkah. Now, men are chayiv to have anything like bread or mezainis in the sukkah. If you do not want to have bread or mezainis, you do not need to eat in the sukkah. You can eat it out of the sukkah. However, two things. First of all, it is very praiseworthy not to even drink a cup of water out of the sukkah. So certainly meat, vegetables, etc., you're allowed to eat out of the sukkah, but for sure praiseworthy not to. So if you can and you should get hold of the sukkah, eat everything in the sukkah. That's A. B, the first night of sukkahs, you're chayav to eat in the sukkah. Meaning, even though the whole rest of the sukkahs don't have to, you can theoretically get by with fish and meat, but the first night is a chayav to sit in the sukkah, eat in the sukkah. If it's raining, you're supposed to wait as long as you can reasonably wait without losing the family. You definitely want to eat in the sukkah the first night. And if it's still raining, what you do is you make kiddush and eat in the sukkah anyway without a bracha and then go inside. But the first night is a chiyuv to eat in the sukkah. And when you eat in the sukkah, you have in mind the mitzvah of sukkahs. And remember the anani hakavod, the cloud of glory that Hashem took us out with. And hello, Shmuley. And we're wrapping up now the end of Hilchos Yeshiva Sukkah. What we're discussing now is the first night you must eat in the sukkah and have in mind the anani hakavod, and have in mind that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and we sat in sukkahs. You should spend as much time as you can in the sukkah, even though it's so nice to take trips or not so nice to take trips. But the longer and the more time you spend in the sukkah, the more praiseworthy it is. So do whatever you can in the sukkah. If you can learn well in the sukkah, learn well. If you do not learn well in the sukkah, do not learn in the sukkah. Go somewhere else. You should, and you're chayiv to sleep in the sukkah. Again, you should and you have to sleep in the sukkah. It is not a an extra credit to sleep in the sukkah. The same way you eat in the sukkah, you have to sleep in the sukkah. And it's actually more chamor because you're allowed to eat fruits, vegetables, and meat out of the sukkah. You're not even allowed to take a little nap out of the sukkah. Everything has to be sleep. You have to sleep in the sukkah. Now, the biggest heter is it's cold, okay? And that is a heter. If it's cold, it is mutter not to sleep in the sukkah, but get a blanket, get two blankets, get three blankets, put a heater in the sukkah, do whatever you have to do to sleep in the sukkah. If it's dangerous, get a guard, or if you can't get a guard, fine, sleep inside. But definitely do everything you can to sleep in the sukkah. If you are married and you're using your wife as the excuse not to sleep in the sukkah, that's an excuse. The ideal is to build a sukkah that your wife could also sleep in. And if she doesn't want to, and she doesn't have to, she's definitely not chayav to sleep in the sukkah. So then you can have a meeting and you can say, okay, do you mind that I sleep inside? And she says, I do. Fine, shalom bayis, come before, first, sleep inside. But if she doesn't mind, don't blame it on her, and you need to sleep in the sukkah. So that is as far as sleeping in the sukkah. If it is cold, if it is raining, you're patur from eating a sukkah, you're patur from sleeping in a sukkah. If in the middle of your suda, it started raining, so then you go inside. You do not need to come back outside. When it stops raining, if you're in the middle of your meal, you do not need to go back outside to the sukkah. Same thing with sleeping. If while you're sleeping it started raining, go inside. If it stopped raining while you're still sleeping, you won't know about it. But if when you woke up and you're still like, and you see it stopped raining, you don't need to go back outside. You can stay where you are. Now, when do you make a bracha leisheva sukkah? If you have a drink of water, you do not say leisheva sukkah. Only if you have bread or mezainis do you make a leisheva sukkah. You make the bracha, bracha ta Hashem, hamutzlachem en aretz, bracha ta Hashem, leisheva sukkah. And same thing by mezainis, bracha Hashem mezonos, bracha leisheva sukkah. And then you take your first bite. If you're going to spend time in the sukkah without eating, we do not make a bracha. So machlokes yeshayim, but we do not make a bracha. We only make a bracha if you're eating in the sukkah. Now, as far as Havdalah is concerned, it's a big tumul, a big shaila, if you make leisheva sukkah when you make Havdalah, because all you're doing is you're drinking a cup of wine. So if that's all you're doing, you do not make a leisheva sukkah. If you can spend some more time in there, so then best is to have a cookie and a piece of cake also, and therefore you'll be having mezainis and spending some time, so then you make the leisheva sukkah. If you go to your friend's sukkah, so you make a bracha in his sukkah if you're going to be eating there. If you're just going to be schmoozing with him, no bracha. Let's say you're in the middle of a meal and you're going sukkah hopping. So that's a big machlekes if you make multiple brachas. Sabi brachas lahako, do not make multiple brachas. And that is that. There's a minhag of saying Ushpizen. Ushpizen is inviting in the guests, Avraham Yisrael Yaakov, Yosef Moshe, Aaron David. It's a good thing to do in the day and in the night, in the night and in the day. So go ahead and do it. Do not light candles in your sukkah if it's dangerous. But if there's room to light candles in your sukkah, then you can. Do not bring anything disgusting in your sukkah or do anything disgusting in your sukkah. And that is a wrap on Hilchas Sukkah. All right, I'll just do some of the parsha. So Mitch, next week we'll do Hilchas Lulav. And surely I will send you the audio of the first part of the actual building of the sukkah. This is just the end of some of the parsha. I will discuss. Oh, yeah, this week's parsha is Nitzavim Vayelech. Double parsha. Interesting, Nitzavim means standing. Vayelech means moving. Nitzavim is plural. Vayelech, moving, is singular. So I heard an interesting thing that if you just follow the crowd, then you may always be staying in your spot. If you have the ability to break away and be an individual, then you have the ability to move, which is true, but you don't want to get too far removed. That's why Nitzavim are attached to each other. You know, you got to be part of the community, but sometimes you got to be an individual as well. There's room for both, being part of the community and being the individual. Another thing is, Nitzavim means like stay still, like take an accounting of yourself and your deeds. Vayelech is time to move and improve on them. There's a story about a certain Rosh Yeshiva's wife who said in Radin, Radin is where the Chavetz Chaim live. In Radin, you learn what you can become. And she was from Volozhin. In Volozhin, you learn what you are. What she was trying to say is there's two elements, which is one of them is be real with yourself, know who you are, understand what your capabilities are, know what your failures are, and then have an idea where you want to go. Look at someone else, have an idea, look at the Chavetz Chaim, look at someone, know where you want to go. So that's the Nitzavim Vayelech. Know who you are, where you are, but also know where you want to go and where you can go. Another idea. And so the last idea, it says in Parshas Vayelech, the Pasuk says, the idea of Hester Panim. Pasuk says, "Vanochi Haster Aster Pana Bayomahu." How Hashem is going to hide His face, and that Hashem does. Hello, Shmuel is not right on time. Hashem hides His face. Hashem hides His face from us. This is the last parsha of our Shmuel. So Hashem hides His face from us in Parshas Vayelech during bad time. That's for sure. What we have today, we're living in the time of Hester Panim, where Hashem is hiding His face from us. But the next pasuk, right after Haster Aster Panim, is the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. So I heard a great idea that during Hester Panim, which is what we're living in, the only thing that gets us through and that carries us through is Sefer Torah, is Limud Torah. We're supposed to write Sefer Torah as a way of learning from it. And that's what carries us through Hester Panim. When times are dark, and they are dark, things are tough, people are suffering, what gets us through may be the psychologist, but it's also Limud Torah. But kisvu lachem et hashir is writing the Sefer Torah, learning from the Sefer Torah, that gives us a chiyus, it gives us a simcha, gives us a connection, and reminds us Hashem may be hiding Himself from us, but He is running this world. Everything we do is connecting us to Him, and everything we do is because of Him, and that will get us through Hester Panim. And mit Hashem, next week, same time, except for some of us half hour earlier, 9 o'clock, mit Hashem next week, or 2 o'clock for Josh, and it will be on Dal and Minim. I'll send the video audio out for the Sukkah Sukkah. And yes, I do have Corona, Baruch Hashem, it's really enjoyable. I'm hopefully on the way out of it. The whole campus here got it, pretty much.
How did it happen?
How did it happen? Well, let me take the recording off, one second.